It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in on Thanksgiving week. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. As we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino, as always, coming up. It is a special edition of the show today and this week because of the World Cup beginning in an hour. Nigel Seeley is going to join us in 30 minutes. We'll get his best bets on the England-Iran game and find out if he likes the U.S. or Wales to advance out of Group B. U.S. in action a little bit later on today. Michael Lombardi on the program, NFL with him at 8 o'clock Eastern. And Mike Palm will join us as well. A little in-play action on the World Cup. And we'll talk some college and NFL with him at that point. He is the VP of Circa, where we broadcast from every single day. Paulie, let's begin with the game that we watched last night. Now, the Chiefs did not cover, so where it matters most here in the pocketbook anyway, the Chargers got the money last night, but they could have, would have, should have won the game. Mahomes was just the magic man yet again. He's $1.50 today to win the MVP. He has 28 touchdowns. Joe Burrow is number two at 22. He's running away with this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the whole move there with Brandon Staley, who came in guns a-blazing. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be aggressive. The analytics tell me the story. You have Herbert, who is, you know, 6'5", 6'6", and they did a quarterback sneak in the game anyway, and he got it no problem. It's fourth and inches. Yeah, you're in your own territory, but you punted, and the Chiefs go right down the field to score.
Yep. Yep. He shook after what happened last year. And listening, he's got the rabbit ears, too. Not to mention how the Eagles have perfected that play now with the push, you know, with the quarterback sneak. So you're going against Mahomes. You can't win a close game against him. It's fourth and inches and you punt. And a big reason why you get beat. And again, an indictment of the coaching staff. Kelsey laughing after the game. They ran the exact same play as it is the walk-off in overtime as well last year. So they run the same play and it works again. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid's a magician in the division. The division's over now. They sweep the Chargers. Could have lost both games. They win both. You're right, Mahomes, a huge favorite, a good-sized favorite now to win the MVP. And you can't get Mike Williams comes back. He leaves with the ankle injury. And now you wonder if they're going to make the playoffs now that they dropped to 5-5. And all this, it's the same thing every year about the talent. And they look good on paper. But it might be the same story as last year that they're going to fall one game short.
Yep. Can you believe this with Mahomes? He is now 14-0 in his career in road divisional matchups. 14-0 on the road. I mean, that's just nuts.
Yeah.
And here's how difficult it is to win a Super Bowl in this league. He had Travis Kelce, who actually now surpassed Rob Gronkowski for the most games with 100 yards and a by tight end last night with 33. He's had Kelce and he had Tyreek Hill in their primes. They've won one Super Bowl. He's the best tight end. He's on pace to become maybe the best tight end of all time.
Yeah, could be right now.
And Tyreek Hill is one of the best weapons we've ever seen.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter who's hurt and who's in, that he moves the ball and they get the win.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, sure. And who the running back's going to be and who gets hurt.
Well, that's a clear upgrade.
Plug and play. Well, yeah, okay.
That I love the way that kid runs. Uh-huh. The rookie Pacheco, boy, oh boy. I mean, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire got hurt last night. But, I mean, it's obvious if you watch it and you give it 10 seconds of thought. It's like this guy has to be the lead back here.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
Yep. The other thing, it appears they have a good chance to get the one seed, too, now. With what's going on.
Oh, very good chance.
Yep. They did lose to Buffalo, but Buffalo now has dropped a couple here. So it looks like the Chiefs could get on track to get that one seed. It's going to be difficult to beat them there.
Pretty good day of football. Eagles, very fortunate to survive, winning that game 17-16. They were down and out pretty much the entire game, came back to win.
Huge! Down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. That's that championship moxie, though, huh?
Yep.
And Colts have a good defense. That they definitely do. And you got to credit the Eagles' defense because of what happened against the Commanders on Monday night. Taylor had 22 carries for only 84 yards. That was after he went nuts against the Raiders.
Hell of a job. Colts go right down the field to start the game, and they hold them to field goals the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Get the big stop. Hilarious. What was it, 4th and 23? Matt Ryan throws a 5-yard pass. But Sirianni celebrating after the game to be down 10 in the fourth quarter and you win. They've won 7 in a row on the road. Great job. But this is this league, right? Peter King wrote about this morning and about what's going on in a couple of divisions, but Mike Florio tweeted about it as well. 126 games this year, this one score entering the fourth quarter. Record. 72 games have been decided by a touchdown or fewer. Mm-hmm. Ties the record. 35 times a team's been down double digits and won. That's a record. There's another one, too, what happened. You saw the close game Sunday. You saw the Eagles come back. It's been a historic season so far.
I can give you some background, too, on what happened in the Bills-Browns game. That landed 8 with a 30 score of 31-23. So eventually they did go over the total. But there is a book in town here, the Westgate, who all bets were action on the game. And I got the background on this. I talked to John Murray, who is in management over at the Westgate. The story goes, if you recall, during the pandemic season of 2020, there was a game between the Niners and Bills that also got moved because of the fires in the Bay Area. And at that point in their rules, they had it written where every bet will be a refund if there's a site change or a location change. And everybody was up in arms, like, wait a second, what? I don't have action here? And a bunch of people took them to gaming, and then they're like, okay, well, look, it's the pandemic. We're rewriting rules now anyway because of the craziness. Nobody anticipated this, right? So they told everybody, we will change then. And they specifically went to change their rules. And since then, they have it that if there is a site change, your bet is still going to have action, right? And I had a bet on under 46 at the Westgate on the Bills-Browns. So guess what? That was a loser, but I knew that going in. And everybody still complained. So they complained in 2020. They complained this week. And my message was to him, nobody's ever going to be happy.
No.
So you listened to what they wanted 2 years ago. You completely changed it for people, your customers, betters, and now they're still pissed off today. Hey, you know, I mean, what are you going to do?
What'd you complain about in the last game? I mean, that's ridiculous with the fires.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but they got middled on the game, too.
Yeah.
So for what it's worth, if you bet plus 8.5 there and you came back at 7.5, you landed right on 8 for the game.
Should have blown them out. Kept settling for field goals.
Oh, yeah.
But still, that's another nice win. You don't practice all week? Can you just get to the airport and what you had to deal with? And with what transpired all week in Buffalo, and they get the win, so certainly manageable schedule for them the rest of the way. And now you go back to back games in Detroit.
I have some major concerns about Josh Allen.
Yeah, you didn't like it again?
I thought he looked terrible yesterday.
Oh no,
was the grip bad on the hand? Is it the elbow that's giving him a problem? He was off on so many passes. It's like Brissett looked awesome. Allen, I have worries about.
Hmm.
So he was missing guys that were open, throwing away over their heads. It looked like the Josh Allen at Wyoming, or like his rookie year with Buffalo. Like, yeah, that's the guy that with the bad accuracy. That's him. So, and now they take on a Lions team that's suddenly red hot.
That's right. Great job by Dan Campbell. This is something. They could go over their win total now. 3 in a row. And I expect them to lose Thursday. That's not breaking news. But Jacksonville, Minnesota, Jets, Carolina, Chicago, Green Bay. You thought you were dead when you were 1-7.
Oh, yeah.
They got a shot to go over here now. And second place, Detroit Lions. Just toyed with the Giants. Great job by Dan Campbell. And, you know, when Goff doesn't turn it over and they have a healthy St. Brown and you run the ball well, great job.
I'm going to say something that will get rejected, like Dikembe Mutombo for sure. If they kind of shock the world on Thursday and beat the Bills, I believe the Lions can win their division. And I was shopping around last night. They were 45-1 because I don't want to completely overreact. But if that Vikings offensive line is banged up against the Patriots, do you think they're going to move the ball against that front?
Yeah.
They're not.
That's a great game Thursday night. That's very important.
Though. Right. And if the Vikings happen to lose that game, I'm just saying. I mean, I know it's far-fetched, and it's a long shot for a reason. But if it could break that way this week, because after the Bills, they get the Jags and the Vikings, they should have beat Minnesota the first time they played.
Yeah, a lot of winnable games here.
This winning streak can go from all of a sudden three games to like six.
Yeah.
And big if.
The in-play dream. How about two games, 3-3 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
How about that, too?
Yep.
The Carolina game and then an epic game in New England.
But yeah.
I mean, it's
just.
They had 2 yards in the second half, the Jets.
That was it.
2 yards.
Where does that one rank all time if you had the Jets plus 3.5?
Well, it was domination. The Patriots should have blown them out, but how it ended like that?
But to lose like that.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. The 85-yard punt return?
It was a walk-off. I'm going to call it a walk-off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
And they don't call the block in the back, and the NFL came out last night and said why it wasn't a block in the back. They all agreed that he got him by the side. I'm not so sure what they were looking at.
Yeah.
But that's...
I don't even know why he touched him. I mean, didn't it...
No, there's no reason to.
He's not going
to
tackle him anyways.
Yeah. So on that offensive performance or lack thereof for the Jets, Robert Saleh went to the media and said, not a big fan of what happened in the game.
Coach, when you talk about the second half, especially the offense, 7 possessions, only 2 total yards.
It was dog.
So here you have the coach calling it dog bleep.
Uh-huh.
Again, only 2 yards. Zach Wilson, 9-22 for 77 yards. Here is that quarterback, Wilson, basically asked the same exact thing.
As an offense, though, I mean, when you guys are only able to score 3 points, the defense only lets up 3 points. I mean, do you feel like you let the defense down at all?
No.
Oh, no. God, no. No.
They're all over him in New York as they should. That was worse than his performance, how he handled the media afterwards. He gave up 3 points. You lost the game. You didn't let him down.
No. We were right there.
Then he says, how about this? He goes, guys, come on. It's windy out there. The other guy was 23-27.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah, right.
Mac Jones actually looked pretty good yesterday.
Oh, he's that's ridiculous.
My comparison.
Oh, he was terrible after the game and during the game.
Look at this tweet, by the way. They averaged 2.77 inches per play in the second half.
Yeah.
I tweeted this out yesterday after the game. My comparison is that was the worst thing since Robin Ventura's walk-off Grand Slam solo shot to stay under.
Yeah. Bad. I still think what happened in the Stanford game was worse. But it's, when you talk about the all-time bad beats. The house it there. Oh, my God. He houses at 85 yards.
Unbelievable. Couldn't believe what I was watching.
I know.
Happy Thanksgiving from Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Feast and all the action with Bet Rivers this holiday season. Football, basketball, hockey, the World Cup, and more. There's plenty to be thankful for with Bet Rivers. Check out their Thanksgiving Day promotions, including a football bet and get, first touchdown insurance, and single game parlay bet and get. Head to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app today. It's a whole new game. We were literally seconds away from total chaos in college football on Saturday. A lot is still at stake this weekend, and I believe we have an incorrect favorite. All coming up next.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you
sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
You don't have to wait until Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. VSiN Pro Access, you get the daily recap of the top plays, every host and guest, the betting splits, great tool where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting, daily betting reports. And the VSiN store, a great place to shop for hats, shirts, mugs, and other gear. VSiN.com/subscribe for the Black Friday offer.
I would submit that when college football is like that, there is no sport on the planet that's better. That was, to me, the best day of the entire year for college football.
The early games.
Oh.
Bedlam. Insanity, what happened? Eight games decided by one score? The look-ahead spots, unbelievable, right? Ohio State struggles, lucky to win. Michigan struggles, lucky to win. North Carolina does lose.
Mm-hmm.
You had that angle with the look-ahead spot after what happened the week before, too. But the early window was drunk. It was great.
It was awesome.
Yes,
all these
was.
Games down to the wire. So much up in the air. TCU almost losing around the same time as Michigan almost going down. What happens then if both those teams lose?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, are we going to get? Are we eventually going to get Alabama in? Is that what we're talking about?
No, we're not going to see that. But that's certainly chaos is could happen here. And then what they're going to do. Certainly a close loss by Michigan. You really have to consider them.
What do you think of Sonny Dykes?
I can't believe he was so calm afterwards. Yeah, we practice.
He was?
Yeah, we do that in practice all the time. It's like, boy, you're really taking a chance there, Sonny.
I can't believe he ran the
football. Missed an extra point, too. Right.
Yeah,
he
right.
runs it there. Yeah, no problem. Sure, cardiac kids, find a way to win.
Total fire drill.
Oh, yeah.
You're exactly right. That's a person that comes here to Circa, hits a jackpot for $7 million. You talk to him, okay, I'm going to go take a nap. really?
Yeah, right.
Are you? Okay, great.
God, I know.
I couldn't believe the postgame stuff.
Everyone was stunned. Yeah, we practice it all the time. No big deal.
Yeah?
No big deal. He's all calm, cool, and collected. Runs out there, nails it. All right, go home. Win.
Now, just don't blow it this weekend.
Yeah, oh, they'll beat our. Oh, Matt Campbell, please.
Oh, I know. Yeah, but this would. You can't do this now. You got to win convincingly, too. And
don't worry about this. Worry about Kansas State in a Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
Because K-State was up big on him before the injuries in the first meeting. Yep.
Yeah, but I don't want him to look ahead, though, either. I don't want them to like be like, okay, now we got this thing wrapped up. Because who knows? I mean, it's just college football is dumb enough. The Big 12 can be dumb enough for them to lose the game. The game in Los Angeles on Saturday night between the Bruins and the Trojans, kind of like everybody expected. I mean, that total opened up 82, dropped to 75, and I mean, 48-45 with the final. And that's today where, I mean, I believe we have the wrong favorites. If you watch that game, I don't know how you can walk away saying, you know what, C.J. Stroud is going to get my vote for the Heisman Trophy. The USC has absolutely no defense whatsoever.
Yeah,
none.
Williams knows no room for error. He has to take the field, and he's going to outscore the opposition. He has to do it. And to think now the one loss on the two-point conversion against Utah, but 33 touchdowns, three interceptions, and coach of the year is tough. I mean, you're going to probably go Sonny Dykes because their win total was 6.5. USC was atrocious under Helton. They won four games last year, and I don't care what happens Saturday against Notre Dame. This guy is an all-time great job by Lincoln Riley.
Mm.
Great job by Lincoln. They won four games, and with a horrible defense, they're still in position where they can make the playoff?
Yep.
Great coaching job.
The Buckeyes have a much better defense than last year, and I know Addison's a really good wide receiver at USC. Have you watched Marvin Harrison Jr. play? Kid is unbelievable, and they have talent across the board there. Three running backs go down, doesn't matter. And oh, by the way, when you look at the overall numbers, Williams has 500 yards more passing. He has two fewer touchdowns, but Stroud has four INTs to three. In rushing yards, it's 316 to 77, seven touchdowns to zero. And oh, by the way, the numbers against top 25 teams are all much better for Williams. I don't understand what I'm looking at here. Is it because Stroud was the preseason favorite? If they voted today, you should have your vote stripped away if you vote for C.J. Stroud. There's no way he can win today. Now, it can flip on Saturday if Stroud's awesome against Michigan.
Right.
And I don't know. USC, to me, is laying too many points against Notre Dame. You know how these Notre Dame games go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was impressive in the snow on Saturday against BC, but generally the Dogs are absolutely live in their games.
Yeah, and May's out of it after that performance.
Yeah, he's done.
That was I didn't see that coming. They get beat by Georgia Tech. The other thing is the turnover margin. I guess it goes back to Iowa last year. Can this continue? Well, yes, it can. They're plus 20 in the turnover margin. And they had the miracle win in Corvallis when they won by, what, four? And they were plus four in the turnover margin in that game. And Oregon State kept turning it over deep in their USC territory. But this, they should be able to beat Notre Dame. And then whoever you see in the Pac-12 title game. But this is just this luck story. The only way they can stop people is if they get interceptions. And they are fun to watch. And this kid is unbelievable, and I'm with you. As of today, he should be the favorite to win the Heisman.
Who's going
to
be the fourth team in now that Tennessee is out of it? Let's assume that Georgia beats LSU. Ohio State beats Michigan.
Okay. And, what's the score?
Like 37-20.
Oh, boy.
USC loses.
And TCU loses?
We'll assume TCU wins, but USC loses one of their games. Who's the fourth team at that point?
My God.
They might Clemson?
They might find a way to put Clemson in.
I was looking around for Clemson national title numbers, and the best I could find was like 30-1. I'm like, oh, boy, they're going to get just destroyed by Georgia.
How about Washington?
They're actually on the board. You can bet them.
Well, yeah, what if they went out? They win the Pac-12 title.
It's up in the, yeah.
Assuming everyone loses. That's also including a Clemson loss.
Right.
Clemson has their hands full against South Carolina. That's no gimme.
Now, how about
the win and in scenarios this week? It starts tomorrow with Ohio. Win, they're in the conference title game. Troy, win, they're in the conference title game. K-State against Kansas. Oregon against Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa. How about that? Iowa can do this. Well, they get throttled by Ohio State likely again.
I can't believe I watched that game because I have the Minnesota win total over 7.5, which is now going to be a loser if they can't beat Wisconsin. They gave that game away 10 different times.
Yes, absolutely. You look at the box score, it's vomit-inducing. And we start with the big one Friday, Cincinnati. Not only if they win, they also get to host at home the title game. They take on Tulane in the early game Friday. There's your win and in scenarios. Mm-hmm. But this is, there's absolutely pandemonium here. If the upset TCU goes down, USC gets beat.
Well, if both those scenarios happen, I don't know what they're going to do. Clemson will be in if they win out.
You're running out of teams.
Yeah, I do.
I think they got to take Michigan over Clemson.
Oh, I hope you're right. I really think you have to. Depends on how much stock they put into these dumb conference title games.
And how Clemson looks against South Carolina and what happens against North Carolina. But if Michigan loses a close game to Ohio State,
okay.
I mean, you can't drop them that far.
I'm going to throw this out there right now. I know you're going to scoff at me, but I have to bring it up. If Georgia handles LSU, Ohio State takes care of Michigan, no problem. TCU loses, Clemson loses, USC loses. Alabama will get a look by the committee.
They're not even on the board. Yeah,
they're on the board to win the national title.
I didn't even see them. I've seen them
on the board.
I didn't even see them.
Yeah. No,
they'll go with a conference champ.
Like who?
No. Probably Pac-12 winner.
But then who's the fourth team? That's only three we're talking about then.
You still have to slow look at Michigan. I mean, you run out of teams there, yeah. You want to take two loss Alabama over one loss?
I want nothing to do with them.
Okay, right. Yeah,
no. No, zero to do with them.
I say no. I think it's finally over because it's even the Tennessee loss now, too.
This is why I always say, this is me personally, but I don't know how you have to be watching games live to bet in play. I learned my lesson early on when in play was starting to become a thing years ago. I'm like, hey, I'm just going to take the team that was favored in the game, and they're down now. They'll come back and win, no problem. Would get carried out all the time. I'm like, why? I'm not watching the game. I have no idea what happened. If you were watching the South Carolina-Tennessee game.
Oh, God.
Okay. You just knew that it was going to be South Carolina's night or that Tennessee was going to have no solution for their offense. I mean, Rattler looked amazing, right?
Yes.
So because Tennessee was such a big favorite, 22 points in that neighborhood before the game, they're down 14-7. South Carolina's getting the ball back, still catching 14.5 points. Like, this defense is going to slow down South Carolina tonight. I'm catching more than two touchdowns with a 7-point lead in the ball right now. Like, I'll take my chances with South Carolina.
They had the ball up double digits, and they were still dogs to win the game. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, they were early on in the game. When they were up by 7, they were still a huge dog, though.
Yeah, it's also historic. Yeah. A team laying 22 gets housed by 25, and it's sad news with Hooker.
That's
embarrassing. They did whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But you kind of had the idea right away, like, this is not going to go well for Tennessee tonight. Like, they're not going to be slowing down. Spence, that was the best game he's ever played in his life.
Yeah, right.
Kid looked phenomenal, and now the Gamecocks are catching a huge number against Clemson. Open up 16 here. It's right around 15 now.
That's a horrible spot, but God, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
You know? Even with Dabo running it up against Miami?
Well, he's not afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Make sure the cover gets there.
Boy, that's a lot. Yeah. That seems like too much to me, too.
Yeah. Buckeyes are laying 7.5.
Yep. Tough call. Corum says he's okay. But he'll be good to go.
Another big one, too, is the Oregon game. The Oregon's still live, believe it or not. If they have things shake their way, they could potentially get in. They opened up 3 against Oregon State. Now it's 3.5. That's a really good game.
Someone at worst case should win the conference with 2 losses. And that's when they could have a case because they're all sitting there top. Because even Washington's 12th right now.
Yep.
And the Apple Cup's enormous, though, too.
It is.
They're a small road favorite in that game.
Yep. Up next, soccer expert Nigel Seeley is going to join the show. We have 3 matches to bet on today. England is in action at the top of the hour. And USA takes on Wales at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific. Does he like the U.S. to advance? Find out coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Happy Thanksgiving from Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Feast on all the action this holiday season. Football, basketball, hockey, and the World Cup. Over 450 different ways to bet each World Cup match starting in 15 minutes. Check out their Thanksgiving Day promotions. The first touchdown insurance, the single game parlay bet and get. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today. At Bet Rivers, it's a whole new game. He'll be live in Qatar on Wednesday. He joins us now every day during the World Cup, Nigel Seeley at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. And England getting ready to go here against, coming up here, the FIFA rankings, Nigel. Thanks for the time. England 5th, Iran 20th. Do you think Iran scores?
Hello, good morning to you. Exciting morning here in London. No, I don't think they will score. No, I don't. I think it's going to be a very cagey match. But I think it's very hot. Obviously, the conditions are very, very hot. It's relatively early in the afternoon, what, 4 o'clock early afternoon over in Qatar. So the conditions are still hot. So I think this game is going to be played at a very slow tempo. So I would expect England to show their quality later rather than earlier. I don't think Iran will score. England have come into this match in a really bit of indifferent form, probably the worst form they've shown in the last 6 years. They haven't won in six matches, but they were in the Nations League. And if you look at all the major nations in the Nations League this year, they all treated it secondary behind the World Cup. It was treated as a bit of a joke tournament because it was so close to the World Cup. Why would anybody really want to put out? It was experimental, change of team formation. So I don't think we have to look too deep into that form guide from England. I think what we have to look into for England's form guide is England's form guide in major tournaments. In the last European Championship, England opened up with a 1-0 win against the Czech Republic in a very, very boring, dull game at Wembley Stadium. The second game was a 0-0 draw against Scotland, and the third game was another win to nil again. So I feel that here this will be a very low-scoring match. I think that England will have the quality to win the match. So I think they'll win the match off the bench. I think the second half changes. But I think for the first half an hour, 40 minutes, we're going to be in for a dull affair. I don't think Iran will score, but I don't think England will score many either.
So with that said, are you going to take a peek at England to win to nil? Do you want to go under on the game, on the match at 2.5? Are you going to look at any exact score, such as England, maybe like 1-0, 2-0?
Well, Mitch, I'll tell you something. I mean, this game here, I have a very, very strong opinion on many different bets on this match. But anybody who's sort of followed me on the column on VSiN, or anybody who's subscribed to my package for Premier Sports Plays, I could have had 10 bets on this game that I could have done, but I got off to a bad start yesterday with Qatar, so I've been quite conservative in my approach with betting. I've only actually gone for 3 bets, because my fear is if I read it wrong, then I've got every single one of my bets wrong. The nature of my bet is this is going to be low scoring. England will edge it 1 or 2 nil, which you could then bring in so many different bets. The bets I've personally played, I've bet the under 2.5 goals in the game. I don't see England winning 3-0, 4-0. I think if England get 2-0, got the job done. Like you saw yesterday in the Ecuador game, Ecuador were 2-0 up, absolutely cruising, took their foot off the gas, took their captain off, took all their best players off, and saved them for the next matches. England have got more difficult games ahead against America and Wales than they face today. So if they do go 1 or 2-0 up, I don't think they're going to go all out to win 3, 4, 5, because this group isn't a group that's going to be determined on goal differential, I don't believe. So I feel that England will rest. So I think under 2.5 goals is a bet. I think the bet is England to win 2-0, which I like all these kind of matches where you have low scoring games. You expect the favourites to win 1 or 2-0. I've also bet the draw at halftime, given the conditions. That was about +130, which I thought was a nice price. I think a lot of the games are going to be quite cagey in the first half, and I think this game will be no exception. And obviously that brings into some more lucrative correct score markets. 1-0, 2-0, you'll probably get 6-1 of both of those kind of markets, or 1-0, 2-0. I just can't see Iran threatening this England defence. They've gone with a back four. They've gone with 3 in midfield and 2 up front, which is a bit more attack-minded from England than what we've seen in European Championships and World Cups before. So I expect England to be through. I mean, England's weakest area is their defence. I mean, their weakest area is their goalkeeper. So the Iranians have to put pressure on them, but their record in major tournaments and these kind of games is dull. They win to nil, they get the job done, and they move on to the next match. Very, very much, Gareth Southgate is a tournament manager. And in tournament football, you do not lose your first game. You don't win anything in your first game, but you do not lose the first game. And the performance is secondary. It's all about the result. And I think England will probably edge it 1 or 2 nil today.
What do you think of the late match in the same group, USA against Wales? And what do you think of Group B? Who comes out of there?
Well, if you've read the VSiN preview, you know, I've been not too kind. Someone said to me, I wasn't very kind to the American, which I said I put them third. That was how kind I was. But all joking aside, I mean, I'd love America to progress through with England, but from a betting perspective, I think that the Welsh side is slightly better. But the betting market doesn't agree with me. There's been a big move for the Americans today to win this game over here. A lot of money. I mean, they weren't far off like a 50-50 kind of split, but now the Americans are clear favourites to win this game. My only worry about that is that I don't see where America are going to score the goals. I mean, they've had some problems in injuries to centre forwards, so I don't know who's going to play in the attack for them. I think that's a big concern for them. The Welsh aren't that great, but they are very patriotic and they will play with pride. And I think that this game will be a game that both nations will play with fantastic pride. Probably not of the quality of what we're going to see from the English side today, but they will play with passion and probably a lot more passion than the English side will do. I think, again, this is tight. This is probably the most important game in this group. These two sides, I think, are the two evenly matched ones. If you ask anybody in the street, you would say this one of these will go through with England. England probably as group winners. So this is a crucial game. Neither side would want to lose this game. No one will really want to go all out. I think the under 2.5 goals is another great play. I think under 2 goals is a great play. I'd probably have a small wager on the draw in the match in 90 minutes. And again, that half-time draw bet, I think that's going to be a very, very popular bet in the opening stages of the World Cup, in particular games like this when there's nothing to separate and they know this is the crucial factor for them. So I like that at plus money. With regards to the group, I think England will qualify from the group. And the other reason I like Wales to qualify is, and I've said it in my piece on Beeson, and I said it to a couple of people, but a lot of people don't agree with me on this, but I feel that the schedule's been rather kind to Wales rather than the Americans. I think the Americans would love to play England last, knowing that England may have already qualified. If England have won 2 games and then they go into that match and the USA know they can get a draw, they could probably play England with the England side playing 6 or 7 fringe players or resting some players and not have any intensity if they had to win it. And I think that could be an advantage for Wales, who play England last. I think playing England second is the worst time. England, historically, in major championships over the years, have always been vulnerable in the first game and always been vulnerable in the last game. Their record in the middle game has always been really good, because the middle game you have to win. So that's why I'm edging towards Wales slightly, because of the schedule.
Okay. That's a great breakdown.
Excellent. How about the middle match?
Yep.
Closing out Group A. Netherlands against Senegal.
Well, of all the games today, this one here is the game that you would think would produce the most goals. I mean, I would have thought that Senegal would have realistically had a good chance of beating the Netherlands. I mean, the Netherlands are always a side that are very, very, very heavily supported in the betting. They always get bet. They never really deliver. They've got some great players, individuals, but as a team, as a collective, they haven't done it. Their manager, Louis van Gaal, is recovering from cancer, so it's a really big emotional game for him today, and I think that will galvanise the spirits of the Dutch team today. I expect the Dutch to win it, but I wouldn't bet them at the odds, no way. The reason why I expect them to win it is because Senegal are decimated by injuries. They have defensive problems. The two of their fullbacks are both missing from the game. But most importantly for them is that their main man and their goal threat and their captain and their inspiration, Sadio Mane, the former Liverpool and Bayern Munich player, is out of the World Cup. Without him, they aren't the same side. The one thing I do expect from this game, though, is goals. I think both teams will score. I think over 2.5 will cash. Very rarely you're going to see me saying that in the first couple of group games, but I think over 2.5 goals will cash in that game. If you weren't watching it from a football spectacle today, I know you're going to be watching it from the American point of view, watching the game later on against Wales and England this morning. There's the fascination from the Premier League and the English players. But if you're watching it from a football spectacle and you wanted to watch the most entertaining game, the middle one will definitely be that.
Okay, very good. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Sealy_Nigel. He's going to be on tomorrow. He'll be on Wednesday. He's traveling to Qatar at that point then, and then next week as well. Thanks, mate. Good luck today. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Take care. All the best.
All right.
You too.
Great job in the guide and great job with the lower leagues too. Couple winners over
the
weekend.
Yep.
Good job.
Do you want to go with a red card in the first half of this match coming up with England?
Oh,
it's 9-1.
I was on Bet Rivers in these sites for over an hour yesterday. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Harry Kane is as low as +110 to score. How about that prop?
I want nothing to do with that
number.
I know.
I did bet first goal of the game, a penalty. I did that. How about own goal 11-1? A penalty and an own goal 30-1. BTTS is +185, both teams to score.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to win to nil -125. They played 5 straight unders, 2.5 in the World Cup. I don't think Iran scores. This is just...
That's like -170. Under a half a goal for Iran.
Oh, is it? Oh, really?
It's that high, yeah.
Okay.
I saw that today at a book. How about Kane to score twice, almost 4-1?
I saw 6.
Yeah, no.
You got that?
Yeah.
No,
6? I was going to say 4. Okay, oh, yeah. Boy.
That's +110 to
score. It's a home run prop, like the excursion. Up next, win some, lose some, recapping the weekend's betting action, an all-time weekend for bad beats coming up next.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no, 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 no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right, great props. Who saw this coming? Most points of the week, Dallas 14-1. Ambush Minnesota and drop a 40-burger on them. Hey, Pollard, pretty good, huh? Use him? Jesus.
Might want to go to him a little bit more. I guess you could see right away in that game, there's a reason why Dallas was favored, yeah?
Absolutely. And maybe they can get Beckham now, too. I saw the Twitter exchanges. Three-way tie for fewest points. Jets 9-1, Panthers plus 550, and the Vikings 30-1. So you have the dead heat there, but three teams each scored three points out of the Vikings at home in a blowout.
Well, it was terrible.
It was?
They
couldn't
just
protect Cousins?
No.
Oh, my God.
And I'm telling you, too, I had the Panthers plus 13. They were this close to blowing that cover.
Oh, the turnover was coming.
Oh, boy.
It was coming. Yep. Lower scoring game, Patriots, Jets plus 550. What was the lowest you saw in play? That game was insanity.
Yeah, it was.
The Patriots just couldn't play. Belichick, out of a timeout, fourth and inches from the six, kicked a field goal. I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, folks, history came to an end.
Every time I looked up, though, there was a punt.
That's right. Yeah. Most passing yards, Burrow 8-1. Most receiving yards, Higgins 10-1. Most rushing yards, Jacobs 10-1. He gets there with 109. How about that?
That's a rarity.
It was a weird week. Mm-hmm. That's right. And all the upsets in college football. Navy starts the day plus 550. They beat Central Florida. South Carolina 12-1 here at Circa. Indiana plus 370 beat Michigan State. Georgia Tech plus 950. Surprise North Carolina. Vandy does it again. Plus 450. Beat Florida. Hawaii to close it out. Good call by you. Plus 330. Beat UNLV. Columbus, 14 in a row. Over in the second period. The Islanders, 18-1 to the over in the third period. UFC, a ton of decisions. One finish. Silva by knockout plus 775. She was 10-1 to win in round three. And Salikov was 13-1 to win in round three as well. Lose some. Rams Saints under 42.5 down to 39. Bengals Steelers under 42.5 down to 39. Tennessee from 19 up to 23.5. No chance. Duke Pitt under 54.5 down to 49. That was no good as well. Bad for the books. Colts from 10 down to 6.5. Almost won the game. Blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Carolina, Baltimore under 44 down to 41.5. Another game that was 3-3 in the fourth quarter. Jackson banged up, hobbled. They lost Stanley in that game too.
Oh, the offense is definitely missing a lot right now.
Yep, but great job defensively. Dallas pick up to 2.5. Never in doubt, game was over early against the Vikings. I have to put this in there because it was historic. Small movement, but the Iowa-Minnesota total opened 33, was bet down to 31.5. The lowest total ever for a college football game. 13-10 final.
Yep, stayed under, of course.
Yes. And Minnesota couldn't win the game.
That's what Iowa
does. That's what Iowa does.
That's who they are. It's been like that for a long, long time. And it's just it's an ugly game every single weekend.
NC State, Louisville under 51.5 down to 43. 25-10. That's another 3-0 for Chuck Edel.
Can you believe it?
He's coming. Total assassin.
Think about this. He's coming on Fridays.
Yeah.
That number was 45. He's like, I still like it under. And it already moved a touchdown. He's going 3-0 on Fridays.
Yeah. What if I told you, as good as he is, he might be as good or if not better in college basketball? He's incredible.
Oh, he's awesome.
I mean, it just
the NFL preseason.
Right.
Right? Where he's thrived for years.
Yep. But I'm just going to focus on college totals. There's nothing he can do about it.
Okay,
and a significant movement. How about remember he had the Ohio State Northwestern under? I think that moved eight. Still gave
it
an 8-point move.
So you're telling me we're going to have him on talking college basketball soon?
Fine. It's great at college basketball. I'm just telling you. Syracuse, Wake over 54 up to 59. 45-35. Purdue Northwestern under 49 down to 44.5. 17-9. Cincinnati Temple under 54 down to 49. 23-3. Old Miss Arkansas over 59.5 up to 68, 42-27. Notre Dame BC under. Oh, that was great in the second half with the blizzard. 47 down to 42, 44-0. Texas San Antonio Rice under 61 down to 56, 41-7. And one game to point out, was it Friday? Yeah, Friday. College basketball. SIU Edwardsville from 1 up to 7. 6-point move in that game, won by 26.
Ooh,
how about that? Several bad beats. All right, you ask me, where does this rank for you? Jets, remember, it was 5.5, got as low as 3 and went off 3.5. Jets plus 3.5. 85-yard punt return with 5 seconds left. I mean, if that goes to overtime, who knows? I mean, no one's scoring a touchdown, I can tell you that.
No. No, it wasn't going to happen.
That's 6-3.
That was the only way to lose, I think. Plus, and that's at the buzzer, by the way. It's to end the game. It's so brutal, man.
How about this one? This one went
your
way.
It's so tough to beat the sport.
It is. Yep. Pittsburgh, 6.5 or 7.5. Depends when you bet it and where you shop. They're up 8 against Duke. It's 4th and 18 from the 19 under a minute. Touchdown, Duke. Went for 2, didn't get it.
Yeah, that was it. 4th and 18.
4th and 18
from the 19. Yeah. To cover.
Yep, they got it. Cal Stanford.
Okay.
The total was 46. It's 27-17 with 1 second left. Shaw sends out the field goal unit from 61. I think the kid got, it's wanted him to get the record. The kid nailed it.
Bang.
College football. He makes a 61-yard field goal at the gun. 27-20 final. Puts it over.
How do you not love David Shaw, huh?
I could not believe that. Ohio State under. 65.5 down to 62.5. It's 13-10 at halftime. They combined to score 33 points in the fourth quarter. 10 of them in the last 40 seconds. A defensive touchdown with 9 seconds left that puts it over.
Uh-huh.
Come on. Clemson, Maryland under 48. Dabble throwing the ball with 2-3 minutes left. Refused to take a knee. Touchdown with 16 seconds.
They're up by 23 points.
Yeah. It's 33-10. He's throwing the ball.
He wants to tack more on.
Yeah, 40-10 final. By the way, going back since 2015, they've outscored Miami 215.
Ooh.
My God.
Wow.
Friday, NBA. Wizards, Heat over. 216.5. 69-57 at halftime. Completely dies. Goes to overtime. 3-2. 3-2 Washington. They win. And it stays under. Come on. What a racket.
It's so silly.
These beats.
Look at that list of beats right there. That is, it's tough to top.
It is. The explosion in the Ohio State game. A guy kicking a 61-yard field goal at the gun down 10. 4th and 18 from the 19. A walk-off punt for a touchdown, and you get 5 points in an NBA overtime.
Oh, and,
I mean, come on.
And, oh, by the way, a guy's throwing the football with a minute to go up by 30. You're going to go up by 30.
Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. It is astonishing. It is excellent. It's awesome. Over 450 different ways to bet every World Cup match. If your first wager loses, receive a free bet equal to your stake up to $500. Learn more at BetRivers.com. There you go. Good job, guys.
Yep. Tough. It's tough to beat the NFL, man. Every week we do this. So many games are coin flips.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like the contest, right? I had the Jets plus 3.5 in the contest.
Yep.
So rather than going 3-1-1, I'm 2-2-1 in this week. I'll take 3-1-1 every single week for the entire contest. I'll live with that. I'll have a great shot to make some money. 2-2-1, different story. And it's because of, you know, DeSean Jackson against the Giants ending a playoff game on a punt return. Amazing. Was that the first punt return of the year?
Oh, what'd you text me? Can you believe that?
That's the first one.
It's almost December. That's the first punt return for a touchdown on the season. It's almost December. How can that be? And that's, that's not why it's another double sick beat. When you factor that in, it's the first punt return for a touchdown in the whole league.
Wow. Yep. All right, time now for the pro tip of the hour, available for subscribers at vsin.com. Soccer in the World Cup. Look to play into the two-way handicap line versus the three-way line that includes the draw price.
Yes.
That's from Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook, who is great with soccer. That's his pro tip. You want to play the two-way and not the three-way.
That's why their hold percentage across the pond is so huge.
That's right.
You get a draw, you scoop the pot.
Yep. Most books will have a 20-cent line on the handicap, but will invariably have a higher hold percentage on the three-way option, Paulie, exactly what you're talking about. And that was our pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Up next, current VSiN host, longtime NFL executive, Michael Lombardi is going to join the program. Was that a one-off for the Vikings yesterday, or did we see their true colors? And his team won. They scored a bunch of points, but is there something wrong with the dude? We'll ask him about that coming up here and Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Vedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.